Welcome back to Science TLDR, the podcast that gets right to the point, breaking down the latest scientific discoveries. Today, we're diving into a paper titled Discovery of a New Class of Cell-Penetrating Peptides by Novel Phage Display Platform. And you can find this one in Scientific Reports.
Okay, yeah.
So cell-penetrating peptides, or CPPs, I feel like we've been hearing about these for a while now.
Yeah, CPPs are really interesting. They hold a ton of promise for drug delivery, getting things like therapeutics right where they need to go in the cell.
Or right into the cell.
But there's always been this big problem, endosomal escape.
Endosomal escape.
Yeah, so, you know, therapeutics can get trapped in these little compartments in the cells called endosomes.
Oh, so they never actually reach their target.
Exactly. They get stuck and can't reach the cytoplasm where they need to be to do their job.
So this paper, they claim to have developed this new phage display platform.
Yeah.
They call it NNJA. And this could be a way to overcome this endosomal escape problem.
It could be. What they did with NNJA is actually pretty clever. They engineered a lysosomal cathepsin substrate right into the phage's PII protein.
So if a phage ends up in the lysosome, which is kind of like the cell's garbage disposal.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Now what?
Well, the substrate gets chopped up and the phage can't infect anymore.
So the only phages that survive are the ones that can escape that lysosome.
Yeah, the ones that make it to the cytoplasm. It's like a built-in test.
It's a self-destruct mechanism for the phages that fail.
Exactly. And the researchers, they didn't just assume this was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did a lot of validation. They isolated different parts of the cell, cytosol, endosomes, lysosomes, all from CHO cells.
Okay.
And they really went all out to make sure everything was working like it should. They used Western blots to check the purity and even tested how active the lysosomal enzymes were.
Wow. So they really did their due diligence.
They did. So it's pretty reassuring, you know?
Yeah, that's great. But okay, so the big question, did they actually find any new CPPs with this fancy new platform?
That is the question, isn't it? And this is where things get really interesting. They made this library of random nine-mer peptides using the NNJA phage.
Okay.
And then they tested it against three different cell lines, CHO, HEK2933, and Kalako.
Dang.
Well, they did five rounds of selection, and what they saw was an increase in the output-to-input ratio of the phage.
So more phages were making it through each round.
Exactly, which means that they were getting enriched for those peptides that could reach the cytoplasm.
Okay, so it seems like their strategy was working. But how did they figure out which specific peptides were the ones getting into the cytoplasm?
They used next-generation sequencing, or NGS, to look at the amino acid sequences of the phages that were successful.
To see what made them special.
Exactly. And here's where it gets kind of wild. These peptides, they didn't have those positive charges that we usually see in CPPs.
Really? So the ones that are known to help them bind to the cell membrane?
Right. Most CPPs have a lot of positive charges because cell membranes are negatively charged.
So you think opposites attract, and boom, they get in.
Exactly. But these peptides, they were doing something different.
So maybe there's a whole other mechanism of cell penetration that we don't even know about yet.
That's a real possibility. And it definitely challenges what we thought we knew.
It's exciting, though.
Yeah.
So much to explore.
Absolutely. But they didn't stop there. They wanted to see this happening with their own eyes. So they used confocal microscopy.
They could actually see these NNJA phages inside the cells.
Yeah, and this was key. They made sure that those phages weren't just stuck in endosomes or lysosomes.
Right, because that would defeat the whole purpose.
Exactly. The confocal images were clear, no co-localization with any of those markers. These phages were definitely in the cytoplasm.
Okay, that's pretty convincing. Seeing is believing, right?
Right. But a CPP isn't much good if it can't deliver something. So they tested if these NNJA phages could actually carry cargo into the cells.
Oh, so not just get in them cells, but bring something with them.
Right. They engineered the NNJA phage to carry an AVI tag, and then they saw if they could deliver streptavidin, HRP, into the cells.
And did it work?
It did. They successfully got that streptavidin HRP in there.
That's really cool. But ultimately, they were interested in siRNAs, right? Like delivering those into cells.
Yeah, that was the main goal. So they took these NNJA peptides and attached them to siRNAs that target the HPRT gene.
Okay.
And they tested them in a bunch of different cell types, ATK, N2A, SH, SY5Y.
Listen, what happened?
The results were pretty exciting. They saw effective gene silencing.
Wow, so the siRNAs were working.
They were. And importantly, they didn't see much cytotoxicity, so it wasn't killing the cells.
So these peptides weren't just getting in and delivering cargo. The cargo was actually functional.
It was. This NNJA platform is looking really promising, wouldn't you say?
It is. But there's still so much to unpack. Like, they did this whole bioinformatics analysis of the entire NGS data set.
Oh, yeah. They had over 742,000 sequences.
That's a lot of data. What did they learn from all of that?
Well, they used these sequence embedding tools to see how the peptides changed over the selection process. And they found some really fascinating things. One thing they noticed was that peptides with cysteine in them, they kept getting eliminated.
Oh, cysteine. That's the one that forms those disulfide bonds, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those bonds are usually super important for keeping peptides stable.
Right, like holding their shape.
Exactly. So it's interesting that these CPPs didn't seem to need them to get into the cytoplasm.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if they're using a totally different way to get in.
Right. Maybe disulfide bonds aren't so crucial for these guys. And there's another thing that was really interesting. They saw fewer and fewer peptides with a bunch of positive charges.
Wait, so that goes back to what we were talking about before, right? About the whole positive charge thing?
Exactly. It seems like these NNJA-selected peptides are breaking the rules.
It really makes you question everything you thought you knew.
I know, right? It's like, do we really understand how CPPs work? Maybe not as well as we thought. But it's so cool.
It is. So are there any other patterns they saw in the sequences that might give us some clues?
Yeah, one thing they noticed was that a lot of the peptides that worked well started with methionine at the beginning of the sequence.
Methionine, huh? What's special about that?
Well, methionine is a hydrophobic amino acid.
Hydrophobic, so it doesn't like water.
Exactly. And you know what else is hydrophobic? Cell membranes.
Ah, so maybe that methionine helps the peptide interact with a membrane somehow.
That's what they think. It could be like the key that unlocks the door into the cell.
So it's not just about the charge, but also about having specific amino acids in the right places.
It seems that way. It's all about those fine details, the little things that make a big difference.
It's like a whole new level of complexity.
It is. And that's why this research is so exciting. It opens up so many new possibilities for designing CPPs.
Yeah, maybe we can start making even better CPPs now that we have a better understanding of how they work.
Exactly. We might even be able to target specific cells or tissues.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the specifics of the paper, but let's zoom out for a minute.
Okay.
What are the bigger implications of this work? Like, where could this technology go in the future?
Oh, the possibilities are huge. Imagine being able to deliver drugs directly into cells.
Like skipping all those hurdles that we've been talking
about.
Yeah,
no more getting stuck in endosomes. Imagine treating genetic diseases by delivering proteins right where they need to go.
Or even gene editing, right? Like delivering CRISPR-Cas9 directly to cells.
Exactly. This could revolutionize how we treat so many diseases.
It's pretty mind-blowing to think about. But let's be real, it's still early days, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot more work to do before this becomes a reality.
What kind of challenges do you think researchers will face?
Well, one big one is translating these findings from the lab to the real world.
Like, it works great in a dish, but will it work in a person?
Exactly. They need to figure out how to make these peptides work efficiently in living organisms.
Right, because there's so much more going on in a living body than in a petri dish.
Exactly. Another challenge is scalability.
Like, can they make enough of these peptides to actually treat people?
Right. Phage display is great for finding new CPPs, but it's not ideal for producing them on a large scale.
So they'll need to figure out new ways to manufacture these peptides.
And of course, there's always the issue of safety.
Yeah, we can't just start injecting people with random peptides.
Definitely not. They need to make sure these NNJA peptides aren't going to trigger any immune responses or cause any other problems.
Right, so lots of preclinical and clinical trials ahead.
For sure. But the potential benefits are so huge that it's worth the effort.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Can we maybe sum up the three main takeaways from all of this? Okay, so number one takeaway, NNJA. It's a pretty amazing platform for finding brand new CPPs.
Yeah, they really nailed it with this one. The validation they did was really thorough, and it's so efficient for finding peptides that can actually escape those endosomes.
Right, and takeaway number two, the peptides themselves, they're not what we expected at all.
Yeah, they really challenge our assumptions about how CPPs work. No positive charges. That's unheard of. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities for CPP design.
Exactly. And finally, takeaway number three, this has the potential to be a game changer for treating diseases.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just imagine delivering siRNAs directly into cells or even larger molecules.
Gene editing protein therapy, the possibilities are endless.
It could really revolutionize medicine, and that's incredibly exciting.
It is. But like we said, it's still early days. We need to see how this translates to real-world applications.
Yeah, there's a lot of work ahead, but I'm definitely optimistic.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is definitely one to keep an eye on. So to our listeners, we always encourage you to dig deeper into the research yourself. The full paper is available in Scientific Reports.
Yeah, check it out.
And until next time, keep those brains buzzing and stay curious.